Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers are home underdogs against Sacramento, and LeBron James isn't playing. Is 2-10 in their future? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcasts, it is always going to be free for you. It is never going to be put behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to get the show early. A lot of times, a few hours before you get the audio version. Thanks to everybody who is helping that channel grow and participating in the comments section. A lot of angst, a lot of anger that we've seen there, but everybody treats each other with a lot of care and respect. It's kind of a therapeutic place, Andy, you could even say right now as things are looking dark.
I got to say, giving some props to our viewers for this and listeners and whoever crosses over into both. As we've seen in just like 48 hours of Elon Musk's Twitter, social media can be a cesspool of just depravity and the worst way we all treat each other. Our community with Locked On Lakers is awesome. Because even when I've seen people being critical towards you or me, which, by the way, you're always allowed to do, but what's cool about it is very rarely, if ever, have we seen anybody cross a line in the way they talk to us, much less anybody else in the community, which we very much appreciate it, particularly as two people who've spent a lot of time online having to often babysit the worst of the worst.
That is true. And I do have to say, I have had to clear an inordinate amount of German pornography posting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not related to our listeners, I don't think.
No,
that's just how YouTube works.
Yeah, and while it violates, the terms of what we want in our comments, and frankly, it doesn't really apply to the videos themselves.
I don't speak German.
I actually do speak German, so I can confirm it's pornography. but I will say this. Everybody spamming these bots spamming this pornography, all very polite. they treat us with a lot of respect. If they weren't peddling pornography, they would be a welcome part of the Locked On Lakers community as well.
I do want to let people know that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts.
I bet they're thrilled with that introduction.
it was a natural seg. And so, speaking of this, Andy, the Lakers are a home dog against the Sacramento Kings. And probably should be. Yes. I mean, if you're a Lakers fan who's just, you're like, it's not going to get worse. You wake up after Wednesday's game and you think to yourself, it's going to turn a corner. It's not going to get any worse. And then you suddenly find that your Lakers, 17-time world champion Los Angeles Lakers, the franchise of Magic, of Kobe, of Kareem, of LeBron, are home underdogs against the Sacramento Kings. It's not going well. LeBron is not going to play in this game. It's part of the reason the line is set where it is. The groin injury, so they're calling it an adductor, correct? Which is sort of that, right? That's like all in that same region.
It's every time LeBron's had a groin injury, it's always been that. It's just a matter of, strain versus torn, and the MRIs showed this was not torn. So in that sense, they were very fortunate. That's something that could have sidelined LeBron for a while. He is, I believe, officially being regarded as day-to-day, even though he's already been listed as out. The Lakers play on Friday today, and then they play on Sunday against Brooklyn, and then they don't play again until the following Friday. It's a very unusual scheduling quirk, but in terms of allowing potentially LeBron a lot of time to try to heal this thing up without missing too many games, because it wouldn't be shocking if he missed Sunday as well. That is potentially there for the Lakers and LeBron.
Well, look, I mean, I know this is why you wish they were 5-5 instead of, you know, or 5-6 instead of 2-9. But they are what they are. And you can look at this and say, you know, there is a difference between what's 2-9 versus 2-11. No, it's every game they lose now to make this hole bigger is a big deal. But they finally do catch a little break here. That gap between Sunday and Friday, it is incredibly unusual in the NBA to have that long of a stretch with no games. And I would be surprised, to be perfectly honest, if he plays on Sunday. I think you take advantage of, you know, that would let him Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday again. It's like, you know, 8 days or something, 8 or 9 days between games. You almost have to give him that time, because this kind of injury lingering for the rest, you know, if it doesn't heal up at least some, it could linger anyway. But if you keep trying to play on it, it's not going anywhere.
No. And again, this has been recurrent for LeBron really since his time with the Lakers in that first season where he missed half of the year because of a groin injury. Like, you know, it's very easy to irritate your groin in sports. And the older that you get, just like anything else, the more susceptible you're going to be. And, you know, it didn't even seem like the play that they isolated during the game that they thought this happened. You know, in real time, it didn't necessarily seem to be that much. And sometimes it's just, you know, stepping weird or whatever, or absorbing contact from a weird angle. But the Lakers, like you said, Brian, they're in a horrible place to play this very conservatively. But I agree with you. I don't think they have another choice.
So let's just assume that this is how it goes. And I will say this too. If they win on Friday, I don't think there's a prayer he plays on Sunday. Like, if you manage to squeak out a win and you make it so like we could split these, you could lose those games with LeBron too while he makes that injury worse. If they can win on Friday, then I think it makes it that much easier to sit LeBron on Sunday, marquee matchup with Kevin Durant notwithstanding. So with that in mind, it's Anthony Davis time. Like, look, man, your team needs you to do that thing that superstars do, which is just go win a game sort of by yourself, even if you want to call it that. You got Russ, who's playing pretty well. You got some dudes. Hopefully Lonnie Walker can play. And
he's still questionable.
He's still questionable, right, from recovering from the virus that is just knocking out. Like co-workers of mine have been home and sick. Like, I mean, this thing is going around and it's no joke. But like, you got to do this. Like, you got to do it now. Like, the Lakers need Anthony Davis to go out and win them a game that maybe they shouldn't win. I realize it's Sacramento and whatever, but they got some players on that team. That is not a trash team. I don't want to overstay. We're not hot take people. We try to avoid being hot take people. But like, this is one of those framing games to me. When you think about what Anthony Davis is to the team both right now, but especially when you think about what he's going to be to this team going forward, this is one of those benchmark games, I think, you know, game 12 of the season at home against Sacramento. It shouldn't be this way, but it is.
Sure. It was interesting. On Twitter, at Cam Brothers, someone asked us a question, and I'm paraphrasing it a bit because I don't have it in front of me, but whether or not the Anthony Davis trade and everything that the Lakers gave up to bring in Anthony Davis could become the equivalent of the Herschel Walker deal that the Cowboys and Minnesota Vikings made that led the Cowboys to, I believe it was 3 Super Bowls, and the Vikings to disarray because they never got close to their money's worth and, you know, their draft capital worth players, et cetera, with Herschel Walker. And, you know, the idea that theoretically the Pelicans become the Cowboys not necessarily winning the championships, but set for the future for a sustained period. And I said, I don't think it's apples to apples because the Lakers already won a championship. And that's something that Minnesota never came close to doing upon getting Herschel Walker. But I understand the question in the sense that you look at two tipping point moments for these two organizations connected by a trade. And will you look back on it from the Lakers' perspective and say it wasn't a disaster necessarily, but it wasn't enough?
Let's stay on that for just a second, because I know we're going to get to LeBron James, who had a very interesting post on, was it on his Instagram or his Twitter?
It was on Twitter. It was in between rehab sessions, I guess.
Right. That's right. And about Kyrie Irving, who met with Adam Silver. I believe I met with Adam Silver on Thursday. And, you know, theoretically is could come back and play for Brooklyn relatively soon. That's getting a lot of attention. LeBron's response to that. So we'll get to that, but I want to kind of stay with what you're getting at, Andy, about this trade and how people are going to look back on it. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional amateur league out there, from football to basketball, soccer to esports. We've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, and clearly you do because you are listening to one as we speak, you can find those at BetOnline as well. That is some of the content that BetOnline offers. Always the fastest, easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to the website today or use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So it's an interesting thing that you talk about, Andy, with this the 2020 title. Because we're not asterisk people. We don't call it the bubble title. It's not like less worthy. It's not anything. It's a title, and titles are hard to win. And this one, I think, was much harder to win than people give it credit for. And I think there is a stronger emotional connection to this. And we actually did a show about this where we kind of took mail and we talked about it. Like, do you feel differently about that title? Because you weren't connected to it. There was no parade. There was no ability to watch that. You couldn't go to then Staples Center and cheer on the Lakers and pack the, you know, LA Live and do all the other stuff that you would do on a normal title run. And I was surprised at how much people did identify with it, in part because I think of the timing and what was going on in 2020 and what that represented and all that stuff.
And obviously, too, the idea of winning this championship in honor of Kobe, who had passed away earlier in the year.
But I do think there's something that is different about it, in the sense that when you look at it now, it looks so much more like a fluke than it was part of what we're used to, kind of being with the Lakers and being around them and covering them, watching them be a fan, where a title is part of a sustained run of excellence.
Yeah.
All of the titles can be put into, like, even if they only win two, like, well, they went to three finals and then they were pretty competitive on either side. Like, in the 80s were the 80s and the 60s were the, you know, and on this, you know, all that. There was none of that with this. And I don't mean fluky in the sense that they got really lucky and shouldn't have won. I just mean the team wasn't good before that. They were excellent that year and have been varying degrees of hot garbage since. And, you know, that is, I think, what changes the context of it. It's like there hasn't even been another playoff run, really, where, you know,
they've been to the playoffs.
I mean, they
once.
Went to the playoffs,
right?
Like, and if you call that a run,
yeah.
But it's not like they went to the conference finals twice and lost. Like, there's none of that, and it looks real dire for making that happen again. And people are very rightly down on the people in charge to make it happen again. So when I think when you get questions like that, I'll let you respond. Sorry, monologuing, but I think that's where it comes from. They won the title. It is that the trade was worth it, but they have managed their way out of the sort of 3 or 4 year run of relevance with that group that normally comes around a title.
Yeah, I mean, it's been bookended by so much losing and, frankly, so much weirdness and chaos and mismanagement and, you know, the backbiting that went back and forth between Genie and Jim Buss, and then the backbiting that went back and forth between Rob Pelinka and Magic, and Magic's, you know, sucker punch resignation, and then winning the championship, then things immediately moving in a bad direction, Frank Vogel getting, you know, fired slash scapegoated, the Russ deal, like all of these different things have bookended this title in a way that makes it feel weird on top of the weird circumstances, very singular circumstances, which they won. And to reiterate what you said, neither one of us are trying to downplay the significance of the title in terms of achievement, because titles are always difficult to win. And those circumstances, other than Jimmy Butler, who is a, you know, coffee mogul starting weirdo, nobody liked the bubble.
No, like horrible. Nobody. Horrible.
Right. Nobody, like Jimmy Butler and I guess Udonis Haslam, because he really leaned into the idea of like treating this as some type of like survivalist test, but everybody else hated it. But the further you get away from some of the specifics where that title had an emotional connection, whether you're mm-hmm. talking about what everybody went through during the height of the pandemic, which thankfully is no longer the norm. You know, we're not completely past the issues created by COVID, but we are no longer in the thick of it the way we were in 2020.
You know, even in crazy, wacky, you know, too careful California, you know,
right.
Nobody's, you can go wherever right. you want. You can be right. in an arena without a mask. It's not, and it's
thankfully, it's,
right.
Yeah. Thankfully, hopefully that never happens again. And as you get further, I think maybe this is me projecting, but I wouldn't be surprised if, as you get further from Kobe's passing, I mean, we're almost 3 years to crazy. That day, Laker fans still obviously miss him. I mean, frankly, the city misses mm-hmm. Kobe. Like, it is weird as people living in this city to not have Kobe's presence.
Badly misses him.
But I wonder if the specific comfort that came from them winning for Kobe starts to dissipate, and it just starts becoming this title that you don't know exactly how to feel about. Mm-hmm. Because there is so much dissatisfaction connected to it before and after they won it.
I think that's a great point. And I think, too, when you look back on it and you project out to the future of like, okay, you know, look, Rob Pelinka, whether you think he did it through excellence or accident, built a team that won a championship. Like, that's undeniable. He might have gotten lucky. He might not have understood why it was going to win a title, but it won a championship. He is a general manager or whatever, president of basketball operations, who has built a contending and title team. But the circumstances under which they won it cannot, again, like you say, thankfully, be replicated. And I think that's part of it also. It's like there's... Even when, you know, well, you know, Mitch, I don't like what he's been doing lately, but, you know, hey, Mitch helped put together winning teams. Like, there is evidence that he knows how to do this, like multiple times. Unless we come up with a situation where Anthony, you know, you could tell me that Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to get 4 months off before they get to have to go play again.
Because that really benefited both those guys a lot.
Absolutely. And it benefited everybody. Everybody had the same break.
But those two specifically.
Certainly, as time has gone on, you look at it and say, I don't see how either one of these guys can, you know, meaning the other guy being LeBron, can get through a season to get to the point where they can go play. Like, there's no template where you can say, as a Lakers fan, okay, it's ugly now, but look at what these guys did for a couple of years where they put this thing together and they knew what they were doing and they... And at least I know they can do it. I don't even know they can do it.
Well,
you know, because there's no track record.
Yeah, it's funny you say that too. And we can leave it here before getting to LeBron and Kyrie in terms of track record and thinking about Rob specifically. you know, when people, I don't even want to say debate the merits of Rob Pelinka, because most people are on the con side than pro. But when when this gets talked about, and you and I do a lot of radio, you know, ESPN LA 710, or do, you know, Spectrum Sports Net, or the show or whatever, it comes up. People always ask, you know, well, does Rob Pelinka get credit for the 2020 championship? And it's a couple days ago, it just sort of occurred to me, that's actually the wrong question to be asking. Because the answer is yes, of course he does. He was the highest ranking member of the basketball operations when they won that championship. And he made some moves leading up to that roster that won a championship. So of course he gets credit for it. There's no reason it wouldn't be on his resume. But to me, the actual question that matters is, did that championship make you feel any better about Rob Pelinka's abilities as a basketball ops guy? That's actually the question you should be asking, because of course he gets credit. Like, Jim Buss should get credit for two championships, 2009, 2010. He was the second ranking member of the basketball operations. Nobody thought he knew what he was doing, but he was the second ranking guy of a team that went to three straight finals and won two championships. Like, of course that's on Jim's resume. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of the wrong question to be asking.
It's very rarely is this, is it worth it? Was the trade worth it? All these things question a debate, because the answer, titles are so hard to win that if you have one, the answer is always, yes, of course it was worth it. But the way you framed it at the beginning of the segment is why this one is at least it's a different conversation.
Yeah.
We'll get back to this. It really is an interesting. I'd love to hear some feedback from people about this. Maybe we'll push it out there. We're gonna have a lot of days between games next week. You know, with no games to do, so we can maybe revisit this with some of your comments for people. But let's turn our attention to what LeBron said about Kyrie, because it's fascinating on a few levels, and so we'll do that next. All right, so Andy, on Thursday, LeBron James posted regarding Kyrie Irving. This was on Twitter while he was getting his rehab on his adductor muscle. "I told you guys that I don't believe in sharing hurtful information," referencing what Kyrie tweeted with the anti-Semitic movie.
And also his comments when asked about it in a post-game presser.
"And I'll continue to be that way. But Kyrie apologized and he should be able to play. That is what I think. It's that simple. Help him learn, but he should be playing. What he's asked to do to get back on the floor, I think, is excessive, in my opinion. He's not the person he's being portrayed. Always back." And anyways, back to my rehab session. There were a lot of people, Andy, who were upset by LeBron's, oh, he's showing his true colors, including some people that, you know, we know on, you know, we're, you know, friends with, media people. He's showing his true colors, you know, when push comes to shove and you got to stick up for people, oh, you're only interested in your own stuff, whatever it is. What was your reaction when you saw this?
I guess I was surprised in the sense that I didn't necessarily expect LeBron to come out with this unprompted. Mm-hmm. That being said, I wasn't necessarily surprised that he would say it at all, just in the sense that at the end of the day, players tend to take up for players. Peers True. Tend to take up for peers. And, you know, like LeBron eventually condemned what Kyrie said. And, you know, there had been a period leading up to it, you know, between Kyrie promoting this anti-Semitic film / book and, you know, him continually digging himself deeper in a hole, just being obstinate and very defiant when asked about this, not taking accountability to the suspension. There have been a lot of calls for, you know, wanting to see players speak up. And, mm-hmm. you know, LeBron's always going to be in that mix because LeBron is LeBron. And LeBron eventually did, I think, speak about it in very unequivocal ways, but it required being asked. And while I know that disappointed some people, I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? In a lot of ways, that makes sense, because I imagine LeBron was conscious about not A, beyond not wanting to criticize a peer, because again, it's just simply not what guys do, and really in most industries. I also imagine LeBron was conscious of the idea of, if I speak, I potentially create a pile-on with Kyrie. And you can argue, and I would say Kyrie deserved to be piled on, but it's different being the guy that starts it. So I would not be surprised at all if LeBron was conscious of that. So yeah, I was surprised that he said this unprompted. And maybe it's not a coincidence that this came on a day that he was Kyrie was meeting with Adam Silver. But is it surprising to me that LeBron would eventually speak up on Kyrie's behalf? Not particularly.
For people, many people who listen to the show, watch the show, know we're Jewish, which I think is just relevant context for this conversation. When LeBron says, and you know, Adam Silver said he believes that Kyrie is not an anti-Semite. LeBron says he's not portrayed as, you know, who's put meaning. I don't think that Kyrie, you know, is anti-Semitic. We do live in an age where, and I'm not talking about like cancel culture, like when people talk about like, it's that conversation can be really stupid, but there are times, you know, where you are not allowed to F up. And the Kyrie's anti-Semitism here is not the kind of like, I've used the reference before, like if you've seen the movie School Ties, you know, like that kind of like, I don't want my daughter dating a Jew kind of thing, you know, like that sort of thing. You know, we went to prep school in St. Louis, like that sort of old fashioned, just, you know, Lily, you know, country club, anti-Semitism, where like, we don't want the Jews in our country club kind of, that's not what Kyrie's doing here. Kyrie,
or at least outwardly, who knows?
As far as we can tell,
right?
Nobody seems to be thinking that. And Kyrie, 3 or 4 years ago, the version of this from Kyrie was dinosaurs are fake and the earth is flat. And how much of that was real? How much of it was? But it's not a long way from dinosaurs aren't real and the earth is flat to the YouTube conspiracies about this and that, and whatever. And that's where he's getting, that's where this is stuff is coming from. I actually believe him when he says it's not malice towards people like you and me. I think it's a rampant form of ignorance from somebody who thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And that's what this kind of bleep does. And it works particularly well with people who think they're smart and intellectually curious and willing to have their eyes open to things that other people aren't willing to look at. And like, you know, truth seeking and missing something in their lives or whatever.
There can be a very fine line between truth seeking and accepting and frankly promoting things that are dangerous. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that Kyrie was promoting through that film, and he can take issue with the word promoting, but it is what he was doing.
Not amplifying, whatever
right.
It is.
Pick the right semantic, it doesn't matter. There's danger that goes along with what he's doing. People can get hurt from it. People can get killed from it. In the same way that, you know, really bad rhetoric about all sorts of people, including the black people that Kyrie, I believe in some warped way, he believes he's actually standing up for. There is rhetoric that is often used to hurt them, and it is equally dangerous.
I agree with LeBron though when he says this is not something that should keep him from playing. Yeah, the Nets put some markers down. He had to meet with the league. He's got to do some other things. Yeah, okay, that's fine. If he can, to their satisfaction, meet those markers, I'm not saying he should be immune from criticism. You should have to stand there and answer questions, and you know, a little contrition here would probably go a long way. But I don't think he shouldn't be allowed to play. I agree with LeBron. I don't think this is the kind of thing that should keep, you know, Kyrie out of the league. I wouldn't want him on my team. I'm not clamoring now for the Lakers to go sign the guy. But I wouldn't have done that before this anyway.
Hey, we've both been pretty open about the idea that Kyrie Irving, you know, on a long-term commitment is just insanity. Where I will say I disagree with LeBron, or I think LeBron may be missing a larger point, because, you know, whether this incident with Kyrie is enough to keep him out of the league purely because of what either is a belief system or a belief system that he is attaching himself towards, that's a separate conversation. Uh-huh. But where I think LeBron's actually wrong is I don't think that's the number one reason Kyrie is currently, temporarily, maybe permanently in danger of losing his career. The reason is it's because he's proven himself time and time again to be completely unreliable, and not just unreliable in a way that's like Nick Young level flakiness. And, you know, and both of us, we covered Nick. We like Nick.
Oh, but he's a great guy.
But Nick has flakiness to him, and that flakiness would sometimes, you know, hurt his team in the process, but it's really on the court. And mostly that flakiness, I think, hurt Nick in terms of his, you know, career earnings and things like that. Kyrie's flakiness and unreliability manifests itself in chaos. And it is chaos that becomes damaging to his team. It becomes damaging to the league, argue damaging to himself. But he's one of those people that seems to be attracted to chaos, seems to be attracted to creating chaos, and does not ever seem to learn whatever lessons you think he should be from the danger of this chaos. And this is not a one-off incident. This isn't even like a five-off incident for him. This is multiple times of it just getting worse and worse and worse. And the reason he's not in the league right now and could potentially be in danger of losing his career is because teams around the league rightly do not trust him. I think the reason he's being put through this six-step process, it's not just to punish the ever-living crap out of him. It's to see, will he actually do this? Like, can we actually get him to commit to this as some way for us to gauge whether or not he's going to avoid creating right. chaos yet again in another month?
And it seems like he is. But you would agree, like when they first laid down these steps, I mean, like I went and picked up Cam Thomas in my fantasy league. Like he could be a productive guard on that team for a long time. Look, I don't really know if Kyrie's going to play.
They've won three of the last four games since he's been suspended, and you know, without trying to besmirch the good name of Edmund Sumner, I don't think him now taking his place in that starting five is the reason. Like, Kyrie is a lot. And the truth is, before LeBron rejoined Cleveland, Kyrie was often seen as an empty scorer and somebody that couldn't be relied on. And he hit the mother of all big shots. But since then, he's not somebody that's brought a lot of success. Like the chaos to success ratio
right.
has been way too far in the direction of chaos. And that, yeah, I think that is ultimately the reason that he's in this place. Like the beliefs that he attached himself to do not help, obviously, and they are problematic. But even beyond that, it's the, we don't trust you.
When you look forward, you know, at the future, if you're the Lakers, we quit here, but like when you look forward to the future of the Lakers, potentially, that's the thing that scares me. If you're the Lakers, is like, I don't want this guy who's going to make a lot of money, who is supremely talented, and by definition, you just have to kind of build a lot of your roster and your plans around, if he's not willing to be accountable. And that, you just can't have that with your stars.
No. Nope. And again, that is ultimately the reason Kyrie is in this place. If this was an isolated incident, it would be a big deal, but it wouldn't be this. Mm-hmm. So
I agree. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to watch the show, see us get very passionate about. I like this. This is a good show. It's some interesting stuff I think we talked about today. Make another Locked On show your second listen of every day. But really, again, only after making us your first. It's really important that you do that first. Tick that box and then move on to whatever it is you need to do the rest of the day. We'll see what happens with the Lakers on Friday. No LeBron, possibly no LeBron on Sunday. Will they be 2-11 on Monday morning? Everybody have a good weekend.